right, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a while to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. You might have noticed a little bit of a different intro right now because we're a little bit of a different podcast right now. With everything kind of going on with Big Ten and whether they're going to be playing or they're not going to be playing or whether or not we're going to be seeing them in October or November. Jordan and I talked about it. I'm just going to be running the show a little bit since I primarily focus a little bit more on the NFL, NBA. We're going to talk a little MLB as well. But I believe once Big Ten returns, you'll see Jordan back in here pretty quickly. So hopefully the latest rumor of Big Ten football returning around Halloween is true, so we can get fully staffed back to a normal podcast. So without further ado, I'm just going to thank you guys again for coming back, listening to us. This is the beginning of our second season. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since we started doing this, but of course, it's been a kind of an unorthodox year. Kind of had to take the break in March because everything with COVID and all that fun stuff, which we're not going to get into any of that because I'm sure, like myself, you're friggin' tired of hearing about it too. So I figure it might well be a good time to start talking some sports, get something a little bit different to listen to. If you guys haven't yet, make sure you like and follow us on the Spartans Wolverines Beards podcast on Facebook, as well as Spartans Wolverines Beard podcast on Twitter. We're streaming on all the major podcasting networks now, so it'll be pretty easy to find us. So I am going to preview today's show, and it's going to be, I'm going to talk a little NFL, some NBA bubble, and I'm going to close out with some small MLB talk. Are the Tigers legit? They're, I think, on a 6-game or 7-game winning streak right now, which that's something I think worthy of talking about. Then we'll close it down, and I'll kind of lay out how I'm going to be doing the podcast for the next few weeks. So I'm just going to go ahead and get started with the NFL. Starts next Thursday, which would be the 10th. Chiefs and Texans kicking it off. Hopefully we have a complete season. Hopefully the COVID crap doesn't interfere too much. But what I figured I would do here with the NFL preview is I'm going to break down each division, kind of predict records, give you the Player of the Year award candidates, and I think I'm going to go into playoffs. And then from the playoffs, I'm going to go into the Lions, talk a little bit about their schedule, what I think we could look forward to this season. So we're going to go from there. So starting it all off, the NFL preview, I'm going to start with the AFC West, since the Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champions. Patrick Mahomes just signed an absolutely huge extension. I think it was something like, I don't even want to figure. But anyway, so I'm going to start with the West. I'm going to go with the Chiefs finishing first in the West at 12-4. I'm going to take the Raiders second at 8-8. Chargers 7-9 and the Broncos 6-10. I think it's any brainer to say that the Chiefs are by far the best team in the AFC West. I think the Raiders are starting to get some help. I think they're all starting to kind of buy into John Gruden's vision, wherever the hell that may be. The Chargers, I think their defense carries them a lot, but Derwin James just got announced he has a knee injury. So, I mean, Tyrod Taylor, the offense, what's that look like? Are they relying on Austin Eckler again? Keenan Allen? It's going to be interesting to see. And I have the Broncos at 6-10. I think the Broncos defense is still going to be a top 10 defense. I just don't think offensively with Drew Lock, they really know what they are yet. I mean, they've drafted quite a few speedsters, Jerry Jeudy, Hamler from Penn State. So, I mean, I think I see what they're doing. They're trying to compete a lot with Kansas City, but I just, Drew Lock isn't that guy for me. The AFC South is next. I'm going to take the Titans, finishing the division first at 10-6. Texans, Bill O'Brien, what is he doing there? I mean, with David Johnson getting traded in for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they picked up Brandon Cooks. I mean, they've got Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, that's always one of the best insurance policies. So I have them finishing second at 9-7. The Colts, I have an 8-8. I think defensively, that's going to be another team that's going to be extremely good. But offensively, you've got Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is good, don't get me wrong. And their offensive line is good, but their rushing offense, I don't know what they are. And then last, in the AFC South, it's going to be no surprise. I think the Jaguars are going to win the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes this year, and I think they finished 12-4. They just released Leonard Fournette for no apparent reason. So I don't see the Jaguars doing very well at all. AFC East, this is going to be an interesting division because now it feels like it's wide open. No Tom Brady. Cam Newton signed with the Patriots, so it'll be interesting. I had the Bills, though, winning the division at 11-5. Had the Patriots, led by Cam Newton now, at 8-8. I think Cam's going to be a very interesting addition to that team. I think you're going to see guys like James White kind of turn more into like a Christian McCaffrey role, which is one reason why he's one of my biggest targets this year in fantasy. Third, I have the Miami Dolphins at 6-10. I mean, Fitzmagic is still the starting quarterback, but you have Tua. So if the Dolphins start off slow, do we see a Tua time pretty early? I think we do, but I still think the Dolphins are a little ways off. They are getting better, but they're nowhere near where they need to be. And then Adam Gase and the Jets, that's all I have to say about that, 4-12. Le'Veon Bell is now becoming an issue again between Adam Gase. And that's a team I don't think anybody knows what the heck's going on with. The AFC North, I've got the Ravens at 13-3. I think they're better maybe than they were last year with Calais Campbell. I mean, they released Earl Thomas, but I feel like they're deep enough in the secondary that that's not going to be a huge miss. Number two, I have the Steelers at 10-6. I think if Big Ben can stay healthy, I think you do see probably the best defense in the NFL outside of the Niners being the Steelers really carrying that team. Big Ben staying healthy, of course, is huge. Third, I have the Browns finishing 8-8, 500. I'm not sold on Baker Mayfield at all. I feel like that's a team very reminiscent to the Eagles from, I think, like 2004 or 2005 when they had Mike Vick and Jason Babin and all these just big names, and they still just couldn't get it to click. I think one good weapon for Baker Mayfield is Austin Hooper, which, if you remember him from fantasy last year, was an absolute god for the Atlanta Falcons. And then lastly, I have the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow finishing 5-11. I think you see the Bengals start to take some steps. Joe Mixon just signed another extension, huge contract. I think Joe Burrow, everything I've heard, is impressing in camp. Everything is advertised, but I don't think that team's ready yet. So then flipping to the other conferences, I'm going to go with the NFC West, starting off with that. I think one of the best teams in the NFL this year that nobody's really talking about is Seattle Seahawks. I think anytime you have Russell Wilson, you have a shot. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, and I think he definitely carries the Seahawks to a 12-4 record this year to win the West. Second, I have the 49ers. Still one heck of a team, but the Niners, they've got some injuries, kind of some lingering questions. I'm not sold on Jimmy G at all, so I'm taking them at 11-5. I think third will be the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury will lead them to an 8-8 record. I think Kyler is up and coming, one of the next superstars in the league. I think DeAndre Hopkins definitely helps Kenny and Drake. I think that offense is going to be incredible. I just don't know if that defense can stay off the field long enough with such a fast-paced offense. Last, I have the Rams at 7-9. I mean, Aaron Donald, I think, which I'll talk a little bit about later, is probably one of the best defensive players we have seen in our lifetime, or at least my lifetime. But there's still a lot of questions at offense. Jared Goff, what is he going to be this year? Is he going to take a step forward? Last year he took a step back. No Todd Gurley. The running back situation, they've got Cam Akers now, which is Cam Akers really the feature back in L.A. Their offensive line's kind of shaky. It'll be interesting to see. I think one of the most competitive divisions you're going to see this year is the AFC South. I still have the Saints, led by Drew Brees, finishing 13-3. I just think they're one of the best teams in the league. There's really not much to say about that. Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, it's going to be one heck of an offense. Alvin Kamara, which Kamara now is talking about holding out, possibly getting traded. I think if Kamara gets traded, I do think that record changes. Second place, I have the Tom Brady-led Buccaneers, finishing 10-6. Now, this is after Fournette signed with them as of last night. I'm still not sold on a Leonard Fournette in that offense. He's not a good receiving running back, and that's what Tom Brady needs. So I still don't know what that offense looks like. Could they have Shady McCoy, Ronald Jones? And everything you listen to Bruce Arians says Ronald Jones is the guy still. So that's going to be unknown, but I think Tom Brady has gotten probably the best weapons he's ever had in his career between Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and now he's got Gronk back too. And I don't forget you got O.J. Howard on that team, and I think O.J. Howard is being slept on a little bit, but I think he will see him take a big step forward. Offensive line is a huge concern for me still. Third place, I have the Atlanta Falcons at 7-9. I think this is Dan Quinn's last year there. I don't think they can keep up with the AFC South, or the NFC South, excuse me. Fourth place, Matt Rhule and the Panthers. I have 5-11. Christian McCaffrey supposedly is working out with the wide receivers now, which is if you're a fantasy player like myself, I'm trying to get McCaffrey if I don't already have him at any cost. Teddy Bridgewater is going to finally be a feature quarterback, which I think will be interesting. I just think if you're playing the three teams ahead of them and you're playing them a combined six times, that's going to be tough sledding. Next division, I have the NFC East. This is one I feel like kind of wide open between three teams, but first they have the Cowboys, 11-5. CeeDee Lamb got drafted to them this year. They've got Zeke still. That's going to be an interesting team to watch. Dak, he's going to be keeping working toward the new contract. What's going to happen there? I personally wouldn't pay him, but that's my opinion. Second place, Philadelphia Eagles, 9-7. Already having issues with Carson Wentz and his health in camp. So that's another kind of unknown of what are the Eagles going to be. They have Jalen Hurts now, and Hurts is already being supposedly already impressing in camp. So that could be a surprising QB battle as the season goes on. Third place, they have the Giants at 6-10. They have Jason Garrett now as their offensive coordinator, which is, if you're a Saquon fan, is a good sign because we all know Jason Garrett loves his running backs. Fourth is the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins. I have them at 3-13. I think they're going to be in competition for the first round, for the first overall pick. I think they could find their heir apparent at left tackle with the kid from Oregon, maybe at 1 or 2. So then finally, I'm going to get to the division we're all most familiar with, and that is the NFC North. Now, I'm going to start from bottom to the top. Keep in mind, bottom to the top. So in fourth place, they have the Chicago Bears finishing 5-11. I don't think offensively they know what the heck they're going to be. Foles is a good quarterback, but he's back up to Trubisky, and Trubisky, we know, can't hit the broadside of a barn. Third is Green Bay at 7-9. They have done absolutely nothing to help Aaron Rodgers during his entire tenure in Green Bay. Drafting Jordan Love, which now the reviews are in for Jordan Love, and they're saying he's not nearly what he should have been drafted at. I think Aaron Rodgers in a frustration with the front office boils over, and I do think Aaron Rodgers will be the next veteran to play on a different team. So keep an eye on that. I could see him very much going back out west because he's a Cali boy. Second place, I have the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to be 9-7. They just traded for Yannick Ngakoue after losing Everson Griffith to free agency and eventually to the Cowboys. I think the Vikings secondary is very suspect. And I think overall as a whole, I think every team in the NFC North has a glaring hole in them. It's just going to be who can keep that covered and who can expose it better. Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. You love him or you hate him. A lot of fans hate him. I don't mind him, but I'm also a Michigan State fan, so there you go. And finally, first place. I'm jumping on the Homer bandwagon. Detroit finishing 10-6, winning their first NFC North division in how many years? A question I get asked a lot when I say that is, people say, well, where did they get better? Where did the Lions get better? You traded away Slay, and you've flipped those two picks into Jackson and Sternberg, I believe his last name is, two absolute maulers for the offensive line, which I think only helps Matt Stafford. But before I go too far into it, because I'm going to preview the Lions after my playoff picture, so I'm going to go into my playoff picture here. So if you're keeping track at home, the 2020-2021 playoff, I have Baltimore and the Saints both having a bye because this is the new year where we have a seventh team added in the playoffs, so we have a total of six wild card weekend games. Baltimore number one for the AFC, Saints number one for the NFC. Second, the Chiefs will open up with the Browns. I have the Chiefs winning that easily. The Bills will play the Texans. I think the Bills win that one. And they've got the Titans at the Steelers. That one could be a fun game to watch. But I'm going to take the Titans. For the NFC, I've got the Seahawks at number two. And the Vikings taking that last wild card spot. I've got the Seahawks winning that. The Cowboys against the Buccaneers. It's the Buccaneers take the sixth wild card spot. I've got the Buccaneers winning that game. I just think you're going to see another run for Tom Brady, and it's just only going to lead to more speculation on, oh, is he going to stay past the contract, or is this just his last hurrah? Then I have the Lions against the 49ers. I think defensively the 49ers are still going to be the best team in the league. So I've got, unfortunately, the Lions lose their first home playoff series in how many years to the Niners. So then flipping back to the AFC, you're looking at the Baltimore against the Titans. I'm going to have the Ravens winning that one. I think too much Lamar Jackson. Bills against the Chiefs. I've got the Chiefs winning big on that one. I think the Chiefs are just crazy good offensively this year. So then the NFC, Saints against the Niners. I have the Saints winning that one. And then the Seahawks against the Bucks. I think it's a lot to ask Tom Brady to go from Tampa Bay up to the cold, wet NFC West into Seattle. So I have the Hawks winning that one, ending Tom Brady's run. So then you're looking at the AFC title game, Ravens against the Chiefs. I have the Ravens winning that one. And then the Saints versus the Seahawks. I have the Seahawks winning that one, which gives us the Super Bowl matchup of the Ravens versus the Seahawks. And I have the Ravens winning it all because I think they're just too overpowered offensively. I think Lamar Jackson is a huge problem for any defensive coordinator. I think Mark Ingram, I think getting Dobbins, Mark Hollywood Brown, Edwards, I just think that team is just full of speed and athleticism, and I think it's going to be a nightmare for anybody. So getting into my awards for the year, I have Joe Burrow winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think that would be a surprise to anybody. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young from Washington Football Team. I don't think that's a surprise. Defensive Player of the Year, I have Aaron Donald. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Comeback Player of the Year, if he stays healthy, I think Matt Stafford, that is his accolade to win. I also think you're going to see him in the MVP conversation this year. But then that gets me to MVP. I think Russell Wilson wins it. I believe he's 30 or 31 this year, and every indication says he's looking better than he has or has. So that's a scary thought for the NFL. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to take a quick break, and then I am going to talk a little bit about the Lions, break down their schedule, kind of my feelings on it, and we'll go from there. So stay tuned. All right, as promised, I'm going to break down the 2020 Detroit Lions. Now, I should have said in the last segment, all this is disclaimer, you know, all this could change with injuries or with COVID testing, and as the season goes on, we'll see how that goes. But here's my quick recap and estimation for the Detroit Lions for 2020. Week one, which is exactly, we're exactly 11 days away now from playing the Chicago Bears at home. I have us opening our campaign at 1-0. Week two, we go to Lambeau. I have that as a loss. Week three at Arizona, a loss. Week four as a loss. So then we go into week five as a bye week. Thanks, NFL, for an early bye. We start off 1-3 if you're keeping tabs. So that's kind of sketchy. I could see people starting to get a little itchy. But week six, have no fear. We go to Jacksonville. I have this win. Follow up week seven at Atlanta. I have that as a win. Week eight, finally back at home. I have that against the Colts. I have that as a win. Week 9 at Minnesota, I have that as a loss. Week 10 against the Washington football team, I have that as a win. The week 11 at Carolina, I have that as a win. Week 12 on Thanksgiving, Lions are always a good Thanksgiving team. I have that as a win against the Texans. Week 13 at Chicago, I have that as a win. Now week 14, which could be a pretty big game for us, is home against Green Bay. I have that as a win. Now week 15, we head down to Nashville to play the Titans. I have that as a loss. Week 16, which unfortunately with everything with COVID, man, I wish I could go see that game. Right after Christmas is Tampa Bay. Could be the last time you'll ever see Tom Brady in a Michigan stadium playing football. So I have that as a loss. Now week 17, which is a big one for us, is whether or not we win the North and get a home field game in the playoffs is against Minnesota, and I have that as a win. Now, like I said, the record is solely contingent on the health of number 9 this year. If Stafford can stay healthy, and if he can kind of shake off the injury bug that it's plagued him the past 2 or 3 years, I think this team is limitless offensively. The offensive line just re-signed Taylor Decker to a big deal, but actually a pretty affordable deal. Pay no mind to that. And then also Kenny Galladay is rumored to be next and close to a deal already. I think this offensively, this is one of the best offensive teams we've had in a very, very long time. Galladay, Marvin Jones, Amendola, I think Quentin Cephas is somebody a lot of people are sleeping on. Okuda said he was the hardest guy he's ever had to cover. And I mean, that says a lot for Okuda, who's played in national playoff games and he's played on the big stage multiple times. I think our defense has gotten better. Trading away Slay is always shocking when you're trading away a top, could say, 5 corner in the NFL. But I feel like with this team, now more than ever, this team is cohesive. There's nobody in the locker room that's, you know, kind of causing trouble. I think this is finally a team that's buying into Matt Patricia. I think the Jamie Collins addition is going to be huge. Marcus Truffaut, which nobody's really talking about that much. I think that's a great signing. Danny Shelton, an awesome nose tackle, is just going to fill gaps, allow Hand to do his thing, and Trey Flowers. Special team-wise, we did lose Sam, and I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now, but we did lose our punter, which is never nice. But I think overall our team, we've got Prater, we got Agnew playing wide receiver. I think this team could turn it around this year. If you look at historically, there's always one team that gets a new coach and struggles, and then in year three they turn it on. And you look at like the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan, that was that team. I really think the Lions can turn it around, but they have to stay healthy. DeAndre Swift, I think, is going to be huge for this offense. It's going to open up such playmaking abilities. I think Kerryon Johnson is going to get back to a healthy form. I think he knows that if he doesn't, he's probably out of Detroit. And everything you've read about this offense and everything you've read about Hockenson is another name. He's bigger, stronger, healthier. His ankle is still lingering a little bit. But if we can get a good offense going early, you might be able to let him nurse a little bit. So overall, the Detroit Lions, I feel like this year, are going to be a team that I think a lot of people are sleeping on, but I think it's a team that is going to shock some people. You see some analysts giving us 4-12, anywhere from 4-12 to 11-5. This schedule is no joke. It is a very tough schedule. If the Lions lose at Jacksonville after their bye, season's over, as far as I'm concerned. It will not be a good season for Matt Patricia or Bob Quinn. But we're getting close to kickoff. I'm ready for it. There's a little bit of a chill in the air. College football, some of the conferences kicking off this weekend, so it's going to be fun. So then, with all that being said, we are going to transition into the closing of this podcast episode. We're going to talk a little NBA, going to talk a little MLB. So stay tuned. So as we get ready to close this down, I'm just going to touch a little bit on the NBA bubble and how successful that's been, and talk a little Tigers, and then kind of just tell you where we're going to be going from here with the podcast. So getting into the bubble, last night you had Oklahoma City lose to Houston in a game 7. Russ and Harden both had good games. Harden came up with a huge block to seal it. For the Rockets, CP3 falls short with a very surprising Oklahoma City team, might I add. I think, in my opinion, CP3 should be the MVP this year, because if you actually look at a most valuable player, I don't think without CP3 the Thunder win 25 games. I think CP3 is going to be a player that you look at in the future, and people are going to look back at him and say, yeah, he was one of the greatest of all time. Touching on the Thunder, I'm not sold on them. I think the Russ Harden dynamic still's not working out. I think that small ball, when you're going to play the Lakers this next round, is going to work, because AD can shoot and he's going to out-rebound you anyways. Talking a little bit about the East, you had the Heat going out to a surprising 2-0 lead on the Bucks. Celtics are a 2-0 lead on the Raptors. Kind of looking kind of like it's going to be a Heat-Celtics Eastern Conference Final, which if you would have said that at the beginning of the bubble, I think everybody would have said you're crazy. But I think, in my opinion, I think the Celtics and the Lakers are going to be this year's NBA Final. I think the Celtics are really built for the bubble. They're young. They can recoup quickly. I think Jason Tatum is a star in the making. I think Kemba finally has gotten onto a team that shows that he is as good as advertised, and that his time in Charlotte, he was severely being wasted. But who knows really what's going to happen. I mean, this NBA season has been crazy. I think any sports season right now has just been insane. Then speaking of insanity, Detroit Tigers, just going to talk very briefly. 2 games over .500, couple games out of a wild card spot, which if you would have said that to me at the beginning of the season, I would have said you're insane. Now, if you look at it, though, the Detroit Tigers normally start off hot. At least they have the past 4 or 5 seasons, and now they're already in that second half of the season where they can afford to start hot. Well, do they make the playoffs? I personally don't think they do. But I do think it's encouraging what we've seen out of this young Tiger squad. I think Miggy, his average is god-awful, but when he's hitting for power. He's just not getting on base. I think that's a killer for us right now. I think overall, though, we have a very, very, very bright future in Detroit. I think Casey Mize has shown every reason why he was a number one overall pick. I mean, it's very unfortunate that his first 3 games were against the White Sox, the Cubs, and the Twins. I mean, those are pretty tough games against some of the best bats in the league. I think Tariq Skubal has been incredible. Isaac Paredes has been great as well. I think this Tigers team, if it makes the playoffs, I hope that this next season and then the offseason, they don't start offloading talent to try and win now. I think they're still a little ways off from that. I still think this is the Twins division to win. The White Sox are starting up and coming, so you don't want to push too soon and then be in the mid-tier and still make the playoffs and then gut your system. Attention, Dave Dombrowski. And on that note, I will be closing out this week's podcast. Thank you guys so much for taking a little bit of your time to listen to me ramble on about Detroit Lions, some NFL, give you a little preview of my thoughts on everything. Talked a little bubble, talked a little MLB, a little Tigers, so not as great as the Tigers as others may be, so I might not in the future, might not talk about them as much. Now, my plan is for future podcasts is to release episodes Thursday mornings as normal. However, this upcoming week, which is Labor Day, I will not be recording because Jordan and I actually will be podcasting on a local podcast, which you will need to stay tuned to our social media to find out which one. It's going to be a different experience, but I'm excited, and I know Jordan's excited to be able to wade into some different waters and have some healthy discussion. So with that, I want to again thank you guys all for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Spartans Wolverines and Beards Podcast. Facebook, follow us, Spartans Wolverines and Beards Podcast. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you again for listening to me. It's a little awkward right now, but hopefully I'll get this ironed out and we'll go from there. Go Green.